The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hi there, and welcome to the broadcast podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society called Grace in Focus. We are delighted that you're with us today as we look at a question and an answer from a listener. You may have thought this before, or perhaps you know someone who has asked this question: Have I sinned beyond hope? Am I a reprobate? Does the Bible support this possibility? Well, an encouraging answer is just ahead with Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro, right after I tell you about our website, which is faithalone.org. The Grace Evangelical Society's website provides many resources supporting free grace theology in the form of articles and books and blogs and videos, and our magazine by the same name as this podcast, Grace in Focus. I will talk more about these resources at the end of this program. Found at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now time for today's question and answer with Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro.
Well, David, good to have you here, and he's our Old Testament expert.
Oh, you underlined old there.
Oh, yeah. And I'm doing this show with my new eyes because about 5 weeks ago I had cataract surgery in both eyes. And I can see clearly now.
Please don't sing. I'm begging you.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I have a question from Steve. It's kind of a heavy question, but I think it's very practical. This guy says he read a short sermon that I did on turning away from the Lord. And he said, I have done a lot of really wicked things. And in doing so, Romans 1 might pertain to me. Romans 1 talks about being reprobate. And Steve says, reprobate, that means it's final, right? No coming back? I regret what I did and am trying to be remorseful. I do not want to go to hell, but that might be the way it is.
Hmm.
This is what we call bad theology.
I think that's pretty close to the truth. No, it's real close to the truth.
Or we can also call it stinking thinking. Steve, you basically need to get rid of this way to think, because this is not John 3:16 thinking, right? This is not God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will never perish but has everlasting life.
Right.
He's got some kind of theology that says if you do something that's bad enough, then you get to the point where you're unsavable.
Yeah, or even if the Lord forgives you, you're still not going to heaven, or some such really horrible theology.
Or you think you're unforgivable, right?
Right, yeah.
Romans 1, the word reprobate basically means disapproved, adokimos, or plural adokimoi, and it means someone who is not approved by God. So a believer can be reprobate. I believe it's used that way in Titus, although some people don't agree in Titus chapter 1. But clearly an unbeliever can be someone who is disapproved.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean he's unsavable. It just means right now his lifestyle is not approvable. So, Steve, when you were doing all these wicked things, yeah, you weren't approved by God in your lifestyle. But that didn't mean you couldn't be born again. You could be then, you can be now. The fact that you're concerned about this suggests you have an open heart toward God, wouldn't you say, David?
Oh, absolutely. The fact that he's seeing where he is, well, even calling himself a reprobate.
Right.
I mean, and he admits there that he wants to do good, and somewhere along the line, he got some bad teaching that you've got to make up for all those bad things in order to get into heaven. And kind of put the balance sheet back into your favor, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And there's nothing we can do to atone for our sins.
No.
We can't hang on the cross, although there are people around the world that on Good Friday will actually hang on crosses, typically tied to crosses. Sometimes the really devout will be nailed to crosses, but that won't atone for our sins. Whipping ourselves, they call it self-flagellation, that won't atone for our sins.
No.
Nothing we do can atone for our sins. The blood of Jesus atones for our sins, and he has made everybody savable. That's why it says, for God so loved the cosmos.
The cosmos. I think I remember in seminary a professor saying that when you see the word world, especially in John's writings, It represents the evil world system. Jesus even died for the evil world system, and we're part of it.
See, that's an interesting point. Sometimes Calvinists will make the point that the word cosmos or world is used different ways in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it does refer to the evil world system that's contrary. The world hates you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's talking about basically the evil system, mm-hmm. that Satan is the god of this world, right? But then sometimes world is used to refer to all of humanity, which I think is more likely here in John 3:16,
yeah.
that it refers to this. Sometimes world could refer to the planet, the actual physical planet.
Right.
But most of the time it's referring either to all the people on the planet or the evil world system. Like 1 John 2:2, he's a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only.
Yeah.
But also for the whole cosmos, the whole world.
Right.
Which would be all of humanity.
All of humanity. That's correct. Yeah.
And it doesn't even, I think world is broader than all who are alive today. It would be all of humanity that ever has been or ever will be alive.
I agree.
So, Steve, the good news is Jesus died for you. He's taken away the sin barrier. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in him, you have everlasting life. The promise of John 3:16 is true, even for Steve,
absolutely.
Even for David, even for Bob.
Right. What we do is we gauge evil acts. We are the ones that say that's more evil than something else. But the Lord, he died for all of them. And Steve needs to understand that those previous sins, you and I both know people that have done horrible things before they were believers.
Sure.
And the Lord transformed their lives.
And the good news is even better, because the promise is once you believe, you'll never perish.
Right.
So even if you do horrible things after you're born again, and we got a question about that,
mm-hmm.
some guys arguing and saying you can lose your salvation and that what we're teaching by saying once saved, always saved, is we're actually promoting sin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in another show. But we can't change the free gift of everlasting life in order to motivate people to live for God. There are other reasons to live for God than
mm-hmm.
fear of hell. Here's what I would say for you, Steve. Anyone listening that lacks assurance,
mm-hmm.
pray about it. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He calls us to ask, seek, and knock. He says if we do that, we're going to find, and he's going to reveal to us what we need to know. And so we should be praying about this. And Steve, I would recommend you read the Gospel of John, because it's real simple.
Right.
It's easy to follow. In fact, this is what they teach us in first year Greek, right, is
mm-hmm.
the Gospel of John, because it's baby Greek. It's like the kind of Greek a first grader could follow.
Sure.
So what I would suggest is read the chapter a day of the Gospel of John and pray about it. And Steve, God will show you that it's really a free gift. It's by faith, apart from works. I've been in several prisons and spoken to prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And the odd thing I find is lots of prisoners who you think would embrace the free gift of everlasting life because they've done things that have landed them in jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes very bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're some of the most legalistic people, and they believe strongly in work salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they'll say is, well, I used to be this terrible person. I was a murderer. I was a rapist, and I did armed robbery. But now I've turned from my sins, and I've cleaned up my life, and now I'm following Jesus, and now I'm a saint. And it's like, really? So the reason you're saying you're born again is because you turned from your sins, and you've promised to serve God? And then they'll say, but of course, if I fall away again, well, then I'll lose my salvation.
Well, that's that balance sheet mentality that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I've got all these horrible things on the negative side of the balance sheet, so I'm trying to make up for it by doing good stuff. And if I've stopped doing good stuff, then it's all over but the crying.
A lot of people, the way they look at it is this. They say, okay, when I come to faith that I've gained what they call initial salvation, now my past is blotted out. So that doesn't count on my balance sheet
mm-hmm.
or in the weighing pans. But after that, now everything I do is counted. Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the good better outweigh the bad
right.
by a lot. If not, I'm losing my salvation. And the weird thing is, this is an affront to God, because the Father didn't send the Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could work our way to heaven.
Yeah, and the thing is, nobody is able to say how much is good enough.
Yeah, in fact, there's a good book by that title, How Good Is Good Enough, and the answer is perfection.
Right.
And we're not.
We're not. Think about the first century Christians that lived in the Roman Empire, a cruel empire.
Right.
And some of those people were either Romans who did a lot of cruel things to the people that they conquered, or they were part of, like in Corinth, part of a really horrible cult. They did horrible things. And what does Paul say? You have everlasting life.
Amen. Yeah, Corinth was definitely the carnal church.
Oh, wasn't it ever? The main problem that I thought Corinth had was they imported teaching from the outside and brought it into the church. I call it polluting the grace of God.
Right.
That's what they did, and that's what Paul, the whole book of 1 Corinthians, is trying to correct all those issues that they brought in from the pagan world. And, yeah. Oh, does that happen today?
Yeah, he sure does.
No. Tell me it ain't true.
Okay, Steve, and all of you there, if you lack assurance, pray about it, read the Gospel of John, find the Lord's words, and God will reveal to you that this is true. This
right.
good news message is true, that if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. Apart from your works, good or bad, none of your works have anything to do with your eternal destiny.
I go back to the simple thing that Jesus himself said. He who believes in me has everlasting life. Why isn't what Jesus says good enough?
Amen. And let's make sure we keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we return to our Roman series with Catherine Wright and Ken Yates. Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.